Morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'd like to welcome everyone here. Thank you all for being here. Yeah, that'd be a good reminder. Turn off your cell phones. It's a good reminder right there. Timely. Please mute them or whatever you do. But I'd like to welcome you here this morning as we honor our dear sister Lori. And I'd like to ask Pastor Hayes to come up and open us up in prayer.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we are so thankful that we have the privilege to come together today. We've come to celebrate the life of Lori. And we know that the greatest memorial is not graved in stone or even in a service like this, but in the hearts and minds of those of us that knew her and loved her. We come together today to also pray that your grace and strength will be available to all the family. May Dick and Lorna sense your undergirding presence and be with David and Jonathan and all the siblings. We pray, Lord, that your spirit would be outpoured upon them, and may they recognize that our coming together as friends is in support of our care for them. And we've also come most assuredly today to find strength and encouragement from your word. Guide us in these moments. How we thank you for the privilege that we've had to have known Lori and observed her walk with you. And in spite of our loss, we rejoice with her gain. Guide us. Bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we can rejoice at this time, in spite of our grief, because of God's amazing grace. Please sing with us, Amazing Grace.
Please
sing with the first verse again. It's on the screen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was wrong, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see.
All right. This time, Scott is going to come and do the eulogy for Lori. Come on, Scott. The microphone here, I think, is on. There we go.
I may keep looking down because if I look up, I might lose it. But thank you, everyone, for coming and everyone who's on the live stream. I read that I needed to start the eulogy with a poem, a quote, or scripture that was meaningful to Lori. And I'm not sure if this qualifies or not, but we shared a favorite teacher at Goddard Junior High School. And he had a sign on his desk that said, "It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt." And then, of course, the logical portion of my brain is telling me to stop talking right now. But Lori and I used to always laugh about that. And it just, you know, when I started writing it, this is what came to my mind. But before I move on to some of the other stories and memories of Lori, just wanted to give a couple of details about her. So Lori Gail Moore was born on April 19th, 1962 in El Monte, California. She was the first of five children of Richard and Lorna Moore. She passed away on October 18th, 2021 at her home in Milpitas, California. She's survived by her husband, James DiGilio, her sons, Jonathan Cousins and David Cousins, and her three grandchildren, Zoe, Zach, and Rory. She loved all of them. She's also survived by her parents, Richard and Lorna Moore, her sister, Melissa Monroe, and her three brothers, Richard Moore Jr., Robert Moore, and myself, Scott Moore. Lori was an outstanding student and always one of her teacher's favorite students. In fact, I think the only reason I didn't get a D in junior English in high school was because I was Lori's little brother. I remember walking around with her the day before finals, and when the teacher realized I was her brother, she took a whole new appreciation of me. And in fact, I also got that extra letter grump bump all the way through high school and junior high school, just being Lori's brother. She attended Sutherland Elementary School from first through sixth grade, Goddard Junior High School from seventh to ninth grades, and Glendora High School from 10th through 12th grades, all in the city of Glendora. Growing up, Lori attended Valley Center Church of the Nazarene. And I didn't write this down, but it was just like bringing back old home, hearing Pastor Hayes preach or pray. And it was just like, I know that voice. It's ingrained. Even when she was young, she had a heart for Jesus and serving others. I remember taking youth mission trips to Mexico and helping out at church wherever she was needed. She always put other people's needs ahead of her own. Even when battling cancer and in hospice, she was doing everything she could to assist others in need. Growing up, one of my first vivid memories of Lori was when she brought home the 45 record of Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. And I think she played that song nonstop for months. And I'm sure my parents didn't enjoy it. But to this day, and now forever, when I hear that song, I will always think of Lori. We always had the annual family Amway trips to Palm Springs in July and San Diego in September. And I remember Lori and some of the other kids getting busted one year, swimming at a pool at another hotel. And I'm sure all of my mischief as a youth was due to Lori's influence. Of course, Lori's looking down on us from heaven right now saying, yeah, right. Anyone who knew Lori knew that she was someone you could look up to. I remember the jacuzzis in Palm Springs International Hotel getting spiked with LOC and waking up every morning to 3 to 4 foot tall mountains of soap coming out of them. And I'm sure Lori and her friends had nothing to do with that. I loved the family time there in the blazing hot desert, and then finished off every summer in San Diego at the Bahia Hotel in Mission Bay. And my dad attempting to sail a Hobie Cat out there and getting stuck forever trying to catch the wind. But that's a whole nother story. When we were young, Lori and I were never really close because of our age difference in school. We never spent any time together at the same school. In elementary school, I was on the little kid side when she was on the big kid side. And then when we got to junior high school, she moved up to the high school. And then when I got to high school, she had graduated before I started. However, her legacy was always there, and every teacher who knew her loved her and hoped the rest of the more kids who followed would be just like her. I'm sure I was. I can't speak for Rich, Melissa, and Rob. When I got out of high school, Lori was working for Dallas Baird and his Amway organization. She was well-respected and knew all the right people to hook me up with tickets to the Long Beach Grand Prix or the Orlando Magic basketball games, who were owned by the Lakers, or owned by the owner of Amway. Amway owned a race team and the Magic, and I was all too eager to take advantage of her connections. Later in life, Lori decided to make a change and came to work for me as my inside sales coordinator at EMSCO. Lori was hands down the best employee I ever worked with. She only needed a little assistance to get going, and then she took over. Everyone in the industry loved her. She immediately joined the American Foundry Society and became an important part of that organization. I think only after a few meetings, I was the one following her around to meet more people. She assisted with all the monthly meetings, practically ran their golf tournament, and joined the board of directors. Whenever I crossed paths with old colleagues from California, they never ask how I'm doing or how's Wisconsin. The first thing they always asked was, how's Lori doing? During the years we worked together, I really came to know her and see firsthand how awesome she was. I remember our carpooling from San Dimas to Pico Rivera every morning, taking advantage of the carpool lane and laughing at all the other people and counting how many cars we passed each day, and we'd always try to beat the previous day's total. Lori loved my kids, as she did with all of her nieces and nephews. She went out of her way to show each one how special they were. She would know what was important to them and spend time doing it with them, from helping with makeup, making cookies, or just playing a game. Lori's always made our children feel special. When Mom and Dad needed help, Lori put her life on hold and spent a majority of her time here in the high desert assisting them when they needed it. In fact, we're at this church today because of the love she had for this church family. She loved all of you, and I know that you love and support, comforted her. There will be a time later when everyone can share any stories or memories of Lori that you have, and we would certainly love to hear those. I love you, Lori, and I miss you.
Okay, at this time, Dick would like to say a few thanks.
We had a call this, can you top this? What I have to share is really short, but this is how Lori lived. She said, I have cancer, but cancer does not have me. And she believed that, because she knows who really has her. And she loved the Lord in such a great, wonderful way. And she always looked to him for her guidance and direction in all that she did. And I just want you to know that she loved all of you. And I don't know anybody that ever met her that didn't like her. I love her. I miss her. Her mother lives her. This is her. And her family misses her. And I'm sure a lot of you miss her too. And thank you all for loving her and caring for her. Thank you very much.
Okay. At this time, anyone that would like to share. Okay. You have to just slip your hand up. You can share a story or something you'd like to share, something about Lori or something you did with Lori or anything like that.
My name is Lori Underwood. And Lori DiGilio and I were friends. Actually, she babysat my children when she was 18. And then she came and worked for me and my family. She was my dad's personal assistant, and she was my second assistant. And sometimes she was a real pain in the neck because she had all of the better ideas, and she could fix anything, and, you know, she just knew so much. But we leaned on her quite a bit, and we worked together for probably, it was over 20 years, and very, very thankful for her friendship. So we did become friends, even though her mother doesn't know how to spell her name because mine's, you know, different. And so she was, I was Lori 1 because I'm older and the boss's daughter. And she's Lori number 2. So we had quite an interesting relationship. But, you know, there is this bond that people have together when they both love the Lord. And that means more than anything. I prayed for her parents and her 2 sons and her kids and their, you know, the grandkids, and we've prayed together for so many different things as we've grown up and become women and did our thing. And so we just know that she's with the Lord, and this is really a glorious day.
Yes.
We can have our tears, but we know that where she is, we can't rob her of that joy just because we miss her. She was a lovely lady. It's an honor to be a friend of hers.
Thank you. Someone else over here, Juan with the orange mic.
Hello, I'm Anita Lachier. I'm Lori's cousin. My maiden name's Cummings, and I just want to share a couple of stories. Try not to take up too much time because we know everybody loved Lori. I'll share a funny story. My older sister, is 2 years older than me, is only 1 year apart, Cheryl, from Lori. And it was like a 3-against-1 thing because Lori's 3 years older than me. And they would just always like want to keep me out of everything. We did Thanksgiving every year with the Moore kids, and all the kids had fun. 6 kids in the Cummings family and 5 in the Moore family, so it was a big household, and we had yummy pies and just anything you could ever want. Olives. My little brother James used to put olives all over his fingers. But anyway, it was a wonderful time as cousins when we lived in Southern California. And so I'm here, and Jeff's here representing the Cummings, and Tracy and my husband John, the Cummings family. And we just, our hearts break. I mean, we had a lot of losses. We've lost 2 brothers, and my dad recently passed away. And so you know, my heart aches for you guys, and I'm so sorry to all my cousins for what happened, you know. But anyway, she would say, her and Cheryl would say, I'm going to make chop suey out of you. And I whatever chop suey was, I did not want to be a part of it. And so, you know, then I'd go, Aunt Lorna and Mom, and they say, leave Anita alone. Stop pestering her, you know. But it was just a two against one thing, you know. And then the other thing I want to say is she was beautiful. I mean, look at her picture there. She was always wanting to bring the beauty out in others. When I come visit in college, she wanted to do my makeup. And she just, she excelled, like Scott said, she excelled at everything. So just beautiful. And then, like Scott said, she's faithful. You know, her going to cancer. I mean, she moved her parents up to Milpitas, even, you know, in her dying days. And is, you know, so she's just, I love her and I miss her. And my heart breaks for you. I'm praying for you all. And the only advice I have with going through loss myself is, siblings, is I'm sorry. And it, for me, losing James and Mark, it really felt like I lost a part of my appendage, like an arm or a leg, you know. Family pictures are never the same. And just, you know, I love Lori, and she is with Jesus, and we can be confident of that. So I just wanted to say that. So I'm done.
Thanks. Thank you. Someone else up here. Lorna would like to be the purple mic, Dave.
Hi, Anita. I also remember that Lori and Cheryl used to tell you all the time your eyes were leaking and you'd come running. But I, when Lori first went to the hospital at Victor Valley, we were talking one day, and she said, I want to live long enough that my family and those that she touches knew that Jesus was her Savior. And she wanted them to be able to claim him as their Savior too. That was the message. She said, I want to live long enough that I can see my family know Jesus. And so I'm just speaking now to share her desires. I miss her so much. And seeing all her beautiful pictures here today is really tough. But I know she's with Jesus.
Yeah. Someone else. Yes, ma'am. Be the purple mic, Dave.
My name is Barbara, and I've known the Moores since Lori and my daughter Debbie were three. It's just going to be a quick one. Anyway, Debbie, or Lori actually told us that she had cancer first. This was back in late 2016. And maybe 4 months later, our daughter came down with breast cancer. Both went through chemo. Both seemed to be doing very well. Then our daughter got it again last April. And Lori's came back in December or something like that. But what I really wanted to say was both of these girls were great Christians and had known each other that long. And when Lorna texted me to let me know that Lori had passed on, she said to me, she said, Lori's visiting with Debbie this morning. And I go, what? This is an old thing. Oh, no, she's in heaven with Debbie. So.
All right. Thank you for sharing that. Someone else. In the back one with the orange mic.
I'm Pat Felt, and I'm a member of this church, and known Lorna and Dick for a long time. They're precious people, and their children are precious to them, and their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. When Lori came to our church, she added so much to the congregation. She added really good food, which she helped Lorna cook and brought for many occasions, and she was just so dedicated to helping her mom and dad whenever they needed help. And she was an example for all of us that we need to reach out to people who have trouble getting around, who have problems in their life, that we need to reach out and help them if we can. Don't just look at them as another person. People in need need to be helped. She did all she could for Lorna and Dick when she was here until she got sick. And I know it was hard for her to think about her parents having to be alone so much during those last days. But she was a wonderful person, and she exemplified what it means to be a Christian, to love Jesus and to do what he said, what he told us we should do. And we should love others as ourselves, and we should help others. And anyone in this room who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior is missing out on so much. Lori is blessed right now, and that's what she looked forward to. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, think about it. Why not? It's not hard. Just ask him to come into your life, and he will. And that's what Lori wants for all her friends and all her family. Even though she's in heaven right now, she still wants that, even more so because she knows what it's like to be in heaven. And that's all I have to say.
Someone else. That was Vicki on the orange.
I'm Vicki, and I also go to this church. But I have more of a little interesting story that nobody'd have, because I knew Lori for a long time before I even saw Lori, because I know that Lori. So I'd hear stories and stories and stories about Lori all the time before I met her. So when we met, because she heard stories about me, we felt an instant connection. And the main thing I have to say about her is just, she has so many talents, but she used them, and she always used them for somebody else. And I just really respected that.
Someone else. You're among friends. I know it's a little scary sometimes. There's no one else, then we will go forward. All right. I have something, but I will share it during the message. So. All right. Go ahead and turn those off, and praise team can come up. I'm going to do a song. Pray that you all will join and sing. Amazing Grace was the first song, and by His amazing grace, we have a relationship with God, and because of that, we're set free, and that's why we have this song, He Set Me Free. So, may not be familiar, but I think you'll get a hold of it pretty quick.
What's like a bird in prison I dwell?
Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you have been set free. And you're glory bound. Where Lori is right now. And I didn't introduce myself, but I'm Pastor Mike. So those of you that don't know me, pastor here, and had the privilege of serving here while Lori was here for a time and ministering to Dick and Lorna for several years. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." You know, Lori, it's precious to God. And she's with him now. And sometimes we don't stop to consider, I mean, all of you, you know, people talking about the love that you have for Lori and Lori's love for her children, her grandchildren, her nieces, nephews, her parents, her brothers, her sister, all those things. But you know, God loved her more. God loved her more. And he loves each of us more. And God never intended for us to have to do these things. We call it a celebration of life. He never intended that. He never intended death to be a part of life. But we had this thing called sin come into the human race. And we all know about sin. We've all lied or stolen or something. We've all done it. And Jesus came because of God's love for us, even that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in 1 Corinthians it says, "Death has been swallowed up in victory." You see, yes, she died, but there was a victory there in that death. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. You know, the law says you've got to pay for your sin. But I love the next verse. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for the victory we have through Christ, by which Lori is with Jesus right now."
Hallelujah.
You know, it's not over for her. It has just begun in actuality. Because of God's grace and Lori's faith, she is experiencing the victory. And I'd like to talk for a moment about Lori. You know, Jesus once said that he came not to be served, but to serve. That seems like a description of Lori as well. Amazing energy. Just when she would be here, it was just, you know, a cloud of dust. You know, she's going through the church and doing whatever it was that was to be done. And in Acts chapter 9, there's an account of a woman named Tabitha, of whom the Bible said was full of good works and mercy, which she did. And there was people that this Tabitha had passed away, and they were grieving, and they were showing Peter all the things that she had done to help other people. You know, and I thought, that's Lori. I mean, we had several testimonies here about how Lori helped and how Lori did this and Lori did that. And I observed that myself during her time here as well. And people wept when Tabitha was gone, and as people wept when Lori passed from this life to the next. I believe all these statements describe Lori. I watched her, you know, when Dick and Lorna began to not be able to drive so much and those kind of things. I watched her step in and spend time down here. And then she'd say, I got to go be with my husband. And she'd go back for a time up there. And then I'm going to Texas. And, you know, and then she'd be back. And then she'd be back here. And I just watched this over and over again. And any time there was a need regarding the church, she was involved. In the midst of all the things that she was doing, she had time for the church. And even the Rose of Sharon, which is a pro-life ministry that my wife and I have been involved in for a lot of years. We were doing something and she wasn't going to be here. We were doing, I don't know if it was a fundraiser or if it was gathering diapers or what it was, but she made sure and sought me out because she was going back to Milpitas, and she says, these things are for the Rose of Sharon. Make sure Debbie gets them. And she had all this stuff. Gather, I had to unload them out of her car in the mine. I mean, she was just always thinking of and serving others. Her great love for her husband, family, and others was always evident. You know, I have a thing on my phone here. When she was ill, most of you, if not all of you, know she couldn't really talk there at the end. She had not much of a voice left. And so I was texting her. We were texting, couldn't visit her. You know, I mean, it's just sad the way things have gone and how important it is that we have contact. But so I was doing the best I could. So I was texting her and I was trying to encourage her and wanted to pray with her. And she was getting tired. And I said, you know, there's a lot of things I'd like to share with you. Maybe we can connect tomorrow. And so then I got this rapid fire whole bunch of texts, one right after another. Okay. And the funny part of it is, it's because of, you know, being sick, being on medication, she started thinking I was her husband. So I just share this because it just shows her love for her husband. You know, I mean, I just got to hear it. That's all. So I said, maybe we can connect tomorrow. And she goes, I'm just really tired. That was the whole text. But then, bam, please don't be mad. I'm like, okay. I'm just going to try and go to sleep. I'm thinking, okay. I'm sorry. I love you. And I'm like, okay. Then it's very late. I'm so cold. And then the topper, good night, my love. And I'm like, okay. Then this is one right after another. And then, whoops, sorry, tomorrow we'll be fine. To which, after some thought, I replied, okay. And then that ended that. But she knows she loved her husband. She loved people. She loved her family. She loved her church family. You know, God is love. God was in Lori, and Lori loved. That's just how, that's just the way I put it. She loved greatly and was greatly loved. And that's why we're all here. But the good news is we don't grieve without hope. We have hope. 1 Thessalonians says, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning those which are asleep or have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. You know, people that have no hope, they sorrow a different way than we do. We just got through laughing. We just heard some funny stories. Why? Because we have hope. And the word hope in the Bible doesn't mean like, oh, I hope. It's a word of confidence. We have confidence. She is with the Lord. And you know what? I am confident that one day I will see her again. I'm confident of that. And that's why we can laugh. That's why we can remember. And yes, we grieve because it's a loss. We can't pick up the phone and call her anymore or FaceTime her or see her or visit her or talk to her. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so those which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." This hope is why in the midst of grief, at a time when we mourn the loss of our beloved Lori, we can rejoice and be thankful. We can rejoice and be thankful in the midst of grief. The grief is real, but so is the rejoicing for her. She's no longer in pain, no longer bound by the earthly body that was falling apart at the end. She's free. You know, he set me free. She is free from all this. She's blessed. And so while grief can give way to thankfulness in the heart of a Christian, I hope that this time will cause you to think, I mean really stop and ponder what life is about. It's more than school or work. It's more than even family. There is an eternity. There is a bigger picture for every one of us. There is an eternity that we will go into one day. Lori is there. Like the song said, when we've been there 10,000 years, you know, we've still got all the time in the world after that. 10,000 years is a drop of water in the ocean of eternity. But there will be a time when you will, too, come face-to-face with your Creator. You know, she's been face-to-face with Jesus already. But there's a time all of us will be, too. Every one of us. And at that time, the only thing that will matter will be what you did with Jesus. It won't matter what church you went to. Won't matter how much you gave or how little you gave or how much you worked or how little you worked. It won't matter how often you attended or what you did while you were there. I mean, all those things matter in this life. But when you're up there, the only thing that's going to matter is where you're at with the Lord. That's the only thing that will matter. Every person either accepts him or rejects him. You're either serving him or you're serving yourself. If you reject Jesus' payment for your sin on the cross, you'll have to pay for it yourself. If you accept the free gift of salvation, you will live forever in heaven with the Lord, with Lori, and others that have gone on to be with him as well. In John 14, it says, Jesus said, "Your heart must not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If not, I would have told you, I am going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." Where are you headed? I hope I've challenged you to think about that. You know, some people think they find out where they're going to be when they die. And maybe that's true for them. They don't know, but I'm here to tell you, the Bible says you're already condemned. You know, we like John 3:16, but then there's John 3:18 that says you're condemned already. But the good news is Jesus Christ already came and died on the cross, paid the price for your sin, and you put your faith and trust in what he did on the cross. And you know what? God is faithful. He will forgive your sin, adopt you into his family. And then when your time here on earth is gone, you're with him. It really is that simple. It really is. And I believe Lori would be pleased if God used this service to do something wonderful in the life of a friend or a family member. I'm sure there's a lot of people here that already know the Lord, but you know what? She served. And so maybe this is a time when maybe Lori influences you yet. She's gone, but she still has influence. Maybe you're thinking, man, I need to get involved a little bit. And then there may be someone here today that you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And wouldn't that be great if Lori's service triggered a thought in your mind that maybe you need to find out a little bit more about Jesus? And maybe make a decision, the most important decision you'll ever make. If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you will. If you have trusted Him, I pray that you will make Him a bigger part of your life. Lori did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank You so much for the privilege of knowing Lori. We thank You so much, Lord, for her testimony that still speaks even after she has departed from us. But Father, we have that hope, that confidence that she's no longer in pain. She's with You. And she leaves a legacy behind for her family, her siblings, her parents, her children, her grandchildren, her nieces, nephews, anyone that's known her, Lord. She has had influence. You have had influence through her. And we praise You for that, Lord. And we thank You for that. Father God, we just come here today rejoicing in the midst of our grief. Rejoicing in the midst of our grief, Lord, because of what You have done. Thank You for Lori, Lord. Thank You for all the ways she touched our lives. But thank You most of all for Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. We're going to have a final song. I'll Fly Away, which is what Lori did that day on October 18th. She just went to be with the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful promise and hope. I'll Fly Away.
Please join us as we sing.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away.
Service part, but not the fellowship. So make sure you sign in. They left Dick and Lorna left some papers there on the there's a like a stand like this or something back there. Make sure you sign in if you haven't done so. They'd like to just have a list of everyone that was here. And there's also the little program if you didn't get one, if you want one. please take it. And if you want to take some for people that aren't here, I've got more. So take as much as you want. And if you need more, come see me. I got more. There is food. And so I'm going to pray for the food in just a moment. And then you'll just go into that door on the right as you go down there, and there's plates and food, and just load up. There's tables in this room to the right, and there's tables in the library. Or if you'd rather, you may sit in the chairs here. Don't worry about it. We eat in here often, so you can bring your food in here or sit at a table if that's what makes you more comfortable. The slideshow will be playing the whole time. There are video monitors in the library, so if you sit in there, you can still see this slideshow and talk and reminisce or, you know, whatever. On behalf of the family, I thank you all for being here in memory of Lori to celebrate her life. And with that, let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for the time we've had here this morning. Father God, I pray that you were honored, you were glorified, that Lori was honored, that the family was comforted. Father God, that we that knew her were comforted. Father, we thank you for this time that we could come around our Savior on behalf of Lori and just remember and just praise. Father, I pray for the food that we're about to have, for the hands that prepared it, Lord. I pray that with this food we would serve you in a greater way. I pray for the fellowship that is to follow. And then at the end, when we begin to go home and go our separate ways, Lord God, I pray for safety in our travels as well. And we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Some glad morning when this life is over.